The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
And welcome to Bob Burney Live. It is the 5 o'clock hour. My telephone number, 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. I have no idea whether you will find this of interest or not, but I do, so I thought I would pass it along to you. The last remaining carver of Mount Rushmore has died. He was 98 years old. His name, Nick Clifford. He was one of the carvers involved in Mount Rushmore, and he was the last of them, and he was the last for the last 12 years. For the last 12 years of his life, he was the only remaining carver alive of Mount Rushmore, and he passed away Saturday morning. He passed away over the weekend, 98 years old. I don't know. I just found that fascinating. We need to keep a close eye on what's going on in Hong Kong. Hong Kong is fighting for its political, spiritual, financial, and physical life. Most of you are familiar with the protests that have been going on for months now in Hong Kong. And just a quick review, most of you know this. Hong Kong was a British protectorate. It was under British control. It was a weird, bizarre thing. You know, right next to mainland China, considered a part of China, but not a part of China. Part of the British Empire, and under enormous pressure from mainland China on Great Britain, Great Britain gave up control of Hong Kong. Now, in the agreement, when Great Britain turned over control of Hong Kong to mainland China, there were a lot of stipulations. Pardon me, got a tickle in my throat. There were a lot of stipulations that provided for a great deal of political autonomy in Hong Kong, even though it was ultimately under the control of mainland China. Well, as you could probably expect, the communist Chinese in mainland China have been violating those stipulations and have been encroaching more and more and more on the autonomy of Hong Kong. The people of Hong Kong have been resisting and pushing back against the communist Chinese. Because, hey, folks, Hong Kong is a spectacular city. It's beautiful. It's magnificent. I've only been there once. But it is one of the world's most beautiful cities. The economy there has been very, very, very strong. And all of a sudden, well, not all of a sudden, over an extended period of time, the people of Hong Kong, who were used to almost complete autonomy, the British gave them almost complete self-rule autonomy. And now communist China has come in and said, you know, we're little by little, we're going to take control. Kind of the last straw was when the communist Chinese from mainland China began, it's not deport, my mind is blank. And I know most of you are shouting at your radio. You know, here in the United States, somebody is arrested and they are not deported to the next state. They were, you know the word, it starts with a D and my mind is blank. But anyway, what happened, the communist Chinese started arresting people in Hong Kong and saying, we're going to take you to mainland China for your trial, rather than being tried by the Hong Kong courts and the Hong Kong judicial system. Well, that's not the deal, okay? That's not the deal. And so the communist Chinese were taking these people from Hong Kong, taking them to China and throwing them in prison, sometimes without a trial, without due process, and so forth. That's what started the demonstrations. And they have been going on now for months. Several people have died. Over 5,000 people have been arrested and put into prison. Right now, as we speak, there is a group of students that are being held captive in a university. Chinese police have surrounded it, and they're being held captive. All right. Went through all of that to get to this. Hong Kong just had elections. And from what I can gather, they were free, open elections. And the pro-democracy candidates have clinched nearly half of the seats on the ballot. So far, pro-democracy candidates have won 269 out of 452 seats in 18 district council races. While the pro-communist China forces, who previously held 73% of the seats, have only won 30. Big difference. Big change. Dramatic change. And the voters in Hong Kong came out in record numbers, a 71% turnout, up from 47% of 4 years ago in the same elections. Now, this is where the unknown comes in. The pro-democracy candidates in the election far, far, far outnumber the pro-mainland China candidates. Will mainland China allow the results of the election to stand, or will the communist Chinese and mainland China force their will on Hong Kong and basically invalidate these elections? From the story I'm looking at, the mounting pro-democracy victories will likely put intense pressure on Hong Kong's leader to resign and on the Chinese government to confront the policy demands of protesters, analysts have noted. So, this election is very, very important. The people of Hong Kong have spoken and made their wishes very clear. They are rejecting the mainland communists, Chinese, but will communist China, will mainland China force their will on the people of Hong Kong? There has already been blood in the streets. Chinese have some decisions to make. This is why the American government, Congress, and the House of Representatives overwhelmingly passed a piece of legislation supporting the democracy movement in Hong Kong. And this has put Donald Trump, our president, in a very precarious situation, because Donald Trump has made it very clear that he supports the pro-democracy movement. He supports freedom. He supports liberty. But at the same time, he is trying to forge a trade deal with the communist Chinese. puts him in a very precarious situation. If he comes out with full-throated support for the protesters and the pro-democracy movement in Hong Kong, that's probably going to put a lot of pressure on the Chinese to reject America's trade deal. Pray for wisdom and safety.
Today's news, God's Word, and your thoughts. This is Bob Burney Live.
Well, 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 we are on the way with our Salvation Army campaign, and we haven't even started. Well, not officially. No, I'm serious. We have not yet officially begun our Salvation Army crusade, but the Red Kettle, our virtual Red Kettle, is up and ringing and swinging at thewordcolumbus.com. Thewordcolumbus.com. And today we have had two wonderful people go to thewordcolumbus.com, click on the virtual kettle, and drop quite a few dollars in. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Our goal is $8,000, and we've been doing this now for several years with the Central Ohio. They have been so gracious to give us, and I mean us, our own virtual Red Kettle. Yep. It's called Bob's Red Kettle, but it's ours. And so we, folks, together, we have our own virtual Red Kettle. What a great thing. And it is swinging and ringing and ready for your donation, even though, like I said, our campaign has not officially begun. But I just want to get a head start. Our goal is $8,000, and I want to blow past that goal. I want to set a record this year. I do. Why? Well, more people than ever are in need of the Salvation Army. And then secondly, the Salvation Army is under vicious attack. They have been lied about. They have been boycotted. They have truly been persecuted. And a whole lot of people are out to try to destroy the Salvation Army. And I think it's time to fight back. I just do. I think it's time to fight back. If you've been following the whole Chick-fil-A story, Chick-fil-A has been supporting the Salvation Army for many years. And this year they said, no more. We're only going to support organizations and ministries that are diverse and don't discriminate. Now, they have not openly attacked Salvation Army, but by implication, they have. They have implied that Salvation Army is a discriminatory, non-diverse, bigoted organization. By implication. It is not explicit, it's implicit. And they threw him under the bus. And because of that, I am more determined than ever before that we not only reach our goal, we exceed our goal. So you can begin the campaign. Two listeners already today have gone to thewordcolumbus.com. thewordcolumbus.com, and clicked on the Salvation Army banner. And again, if it's not there, hit refresh, and it'll pop up. You know, just hit refresh, refresh your browser, and the Salvation Army banner will come up. It'll be right across the top of our page at thewordcolumbus.com. So let's do it. And by the way, very, very important, you're going to hear a lot of national talk shows raising funds for the Salvation Army. And that's fine. That's fine. But you need to understand something. If you give to one of those national talk show hosts, that money is going to go to the national office. If you give to our Red Kettle, every penny stays here in Central Ohio. Not $1 goes to the national office. Every penny goes to help your neighbors, my neighbors, our neighbors. And I just think that's very important. So I'll let you know when we officially begin the campaign, but yeah, I don't know. I'd like to be halfway there when we officially begin the campaign. I do. So anyway, thewordcolumbus.com. Click on the Red Kettle banner and make your donation. What a wacky world we live in. This past Saturday, football games, lots of important football games, some very important rivalries. This Saturday is really the rivalry Saturday. But last Saturday was as well, of course, Penn State, Ohio State. But probably the biggest rivalry game last weekend, this past Saturday, was Yale-Harvard. Yeah, it's a big one. Yale-Harvard. Well, the game was postponed for over 1 hour after halftime. Why? Well, let me read the story to you. On Saturday, climate protesters interrupted the Yale-Harvard football game at halftime by taking the field and refusing to leave. The protest was organized by two groups, Divest Harvard and Fossil Free Yale. Yeah, if they want to be fossil free, they should fire some of their older professors. All right. The crowd of protesters consisted of students, alumni, and faculty members. They unfurled banners that read, "Nobody wins. Yale and Harvard are complicit in climate justice." Another banner, "This is an emergency." Another banner, "Our future demands action now." Really? Yeah, they went down on the field. They refused to leave. They were down there for over an hour. The public address announcer continually asked them to leave the field. They wouldn't. Finally, as a courtesy to both teams, the game must resume, the public address announcer said. After about an hour, police formed a line and moved forward from the Yale sideline toward the Harvard sideline. An agreement was reached. You ready for this? An agreement was reached to escort the remaining protesters off the field with one police officer to accompany every two protesters. Yeah. Most of the faculty at Harvard and Yale supported the protesters, as well as most of the Democratic candidates for president. Yeah, most of the Democratic candidates for president supported the protesters. Wow. All right, we'll be back.